Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. We'll open our meeting this morning with the singing of hymn number 8. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord, for bountiful is he. His tender mercy doth endure unto eternity. Hymn number 8. Before we hear our much needed word of exhortation, we will sing together hymn 207. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, O praise him, hallelujah. Hymn 207.
Thank you.
It's now my pleasure to ask Brother Alan to lead us in our words of exhortation.
My beloved brethren and sisters in the one faith, we read in the Acts of the Apostles, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And so, roughly 2,000 years later, we strive to continue day by day, steadfastly, in the things of truth. And this morning, we have come together in fellowship, the fellowship of the one faith, to break bread. We remember the sacrificial death of the one who is described as altogether lovely. And we're nearing the end of our first journey this year. We pray the Master returns before we reach the second, through the Acts of the Apostles. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we have various characters, and in each of their lives, they mirrored some of the trials and the sufferings which our beloved Master underwent. In the early part of Acts, as we know, Peter plays a prominent role by God's grace. And we can think about Peter, who, despite his clear statements, denied his Master. And the Master looked at him, and Peter wept, and yet he went forward with the work after the Master had ascended into heaven. And in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, that we can go to quite briefly, we learn of the sufferings which others underwent. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So around the time of Passover, just as with the Master, Peter was to be taken, is apprehended, he's put in prison, and the Master was incarcerated, albeit briefly, before undergoing that death upon the accursed tree. But we notice, and here is a lesson for us all, that we have a brother in an adverse situation, but prayer was made without ceasing of the ecclesia. And the margin in the Authorized Version, at any rate, says, instant and earnest prayer was made, continuing in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, prayers. And we find that Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, one on one side, the other on the left, as the Master hung there with the two malefactors either side. The angel comes, the light shines. Peter is smitten on the side. The Master's side was pierced. There came forth water and blood. But almost in a form of resurrection from that situation, arise up quickly. His chains fell off from his hands. And so Peter is instructed to gird himself, bind on his sandals, and follow me. And so we too can follow the one we are met to remember. Having the minimum of other encumbrances. And when Peter goes out, they come at the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. And when he arrives at the house of Mary, there is disbelief at his reappearance. And so it was when the Master was risen from the dead. There was that disbelief. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckons them with his hand to hold their peace. And when the Master appeared after his resurrection, John records that he said, peace. And it continues. Herod was looking for him. Where's his prisoner gone? Couldn't find him, and examined the keepers, just as those responsible for guarding the Master's tomb were questioned. And so Peter, and after that chapter in Acts, Peter, as it were, disappears off the scene in Acts. But a little earlier, there had been another faithful follower. And what a statement was made concerning Stephen, a man full of faith. How would we be viewed? Would we be full of faith? How do we appear to those with whom we associate day by day in whatever we do day by day? Do they recognise that faith which is ours? And so Stephen, despite persecution, continued to speak of the things of truth. And he suffered for that faith. He was cast out. He was stoned. And while he was being stoned, there was a young man there whose name was Saul. The clothing of those that put Stephen to death were at his feet. In modern legal parlance, one could say that he was an accessory before, during, and after the fact. And we note that he was consenting unto Stephen's death. There was persecution of the ecclesia, and so as Stephen meets his temporary end, the Apostle Paul, as he is to come, comes onto the scene. And the Apostle Paul writes in the first letter to the Corinthians, "Be ye followers of me." It's also in the 1st of Corinthians in chapter 11. That word followers, the followers is probably not sufficient a word. The original Greek means imitators, be ye imitators. It's where we get our word mime from in the English language. We have to follow by copying. And we have the supreme example before us in the emblems of bread and wine. Because the Apostle Paul said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And so we see in the life of the Apostle Paul his efforts to follow the example of his Lord. And he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, and in the second epistle and the third chapter, "Thou hast fully known," or the margin says, "been a diligent follower of my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience." And those are qualities which were also in our beloved master. "The persecutions, the afflictions which came unto him at various places." But he recognized that out of all those persecutions, the Lord delivered him according to his will. But just coming back to "thou hast fully known my doctrine," etc., we can go to some words that we've read in the quite recent past. Acts chapter 20. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, for the context, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus, called the elders of the ecclesia, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." And then in verse 19, "serving the Lord with all humility of mind." And the master humbled himself to that death we are meant to remember. With many tears, we know from John chapter 11, verse 35, that Jesus wept. "The temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." We know that the master was tempted in all points, stress the all points, as we are, and yet was without sin. And as the challenges came, he responded, and so must we respond to the challenges of daily living by what does the word of God say. "Have ye not read," was what the master said, "by the lying in wait of the Jews." And we can think about how the night this feast that we are meant to celebrate was instituted, that having sung a psalm, they went out. And the Jews, the authorities, were conspiring to take the master. They were constantly lying in wait, waiting for him to say something they could object to. They asked him questions. Did they do it that they might be turned from their present ways? No, it was to trick and to deceive. But we notice that despite all the things which happened, the Apostle Paul kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. And so how he spared no effort in preaching the things of truth to those with whom he came in contact, just as the Master did. He poured out himself day by day. And he also speaks further down, Acts 20, about none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. So he rejects all of the other things for that which he was there to do. However, he warns them, and they're well-known words, we needn't read through them, between verses 28 and 31. But he does give this picture about looking after the ecclesial flock, shepherding the ecclesial lambs, as it were, and we're waiting for the great shepherd to appear. He warns them about those that would come in and those that were already there that would turn away the believers. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, almost the length of the Master's ministry, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And of course, the Apostle Paul was subject to the legal processes of the age. And indeed, in all generations and in the 20th century, brethren have been faced with the legal processes of the day. But he is able to make this declaration to the council in the first verse of Acts 23. Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. So we think of these examples, Stephen, full of faith, living in all good conscience, the Apostle Paul. But what happened? The high priest commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Now, what does Matthew say in Matthew chapter 26? And towards the end of Matthew 26, verse 60, but found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And so the high priest arose and said, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, as a sheep before shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, and he speaks about his coming. But then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. So the priest had rendered himself unworthy of that role because his rending of clothes was contrary to the provisions of Leviticus 21 and verse 10. And so Paul and the Master appearing in front of high priests. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 5, the accusation that was made concerning Paul. We have found this man a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who hath also gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. And again, it's the parallels with the events in the Master's life, and particularly the events towards the end of the Master's life. And it was said of the Master that we find in Luke's Gospel, they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And in the reading which Brother James read for us earlier, in Acts chapter 25 and verse 25. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him. Nothing worthy of death. We said the Apostle Peter seemed to disappear off the scene after Acts chapter 12, but of course we do have his epistles. And in the first epistle and chapter 2, a wonderful chapter concerning the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, those who have been called out of darkness into a marvellous light. We read in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." There's the example, the imitation, "that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So here we have the rules for daily living for the believers in the 21st century. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself," or committed his cause, "to him that judgeth righteously." That scriptural principle of righteous judgment. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body to the tree, that we, being dead to sins," and we can think back to Romans 6 concerning baptism, where the old man, as it were, dies and the new rises to a new life, "that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And the whole thing about the Apostle Paul was he was in this adversity because of what he believed and because of what he stood for. And the same with the Master. He was persecuted for the things which he taught, which were firmly planted in the scriptures which would be known at the time. And in the 26th chapter, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." We see this faith which we have, which the Apostle Paul and others had, back in the promises made to the fathers. And in Romans we read, "For we are saved by the hope, not just some vague hope." And so the Apostle Paul undergoes other adversity. He's there in a ship, and the storm eventually comes. And in chapter 27, we note towards the end of the chapter, the penultimate verse, "The centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose," of putting him to death, basically, "and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land." The centurion, truly, this was the Son of God. And we notice that they are saved from the shipwreck by being on broken boards, this wooden ship. The salvation coming by being on wood. We are met to remember the one who is nailed to the accursed tree. And it was also saved out of water. And we can think of the significance of baptism in that respect. And the Apostle Paul had previously spoken to this centurion. He'd said to him, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." We can take our minds back to the time of the Passover and the instruction that was given to abide in the house. And now we abide in the ecclesial house, that we might, by God's grace and by a faithful walk and belief, be saved. We know that the Apostle Paul survived the shipwreck. He went to Rome, and where he went, he found brethren, and would desire to tarry with them 7 days. And once again, he restates why he underwent this persecution, that "for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." And despite the privations he suffered, he had a certain amount of liberty that enabled him to expound and testify concerning the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. You know, we can think back to that wonderful last chapter of the gospel as recorded by Luke, where the master, after his resurrection, appeared and spoke about the things in the law and in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning himself. And so the Apostle Paul made sterling efforts to preach the truth. And we note, and we see this ourselves, some believed and some believed not. And we know that it is God that sends out the call. And so the Apostle Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if we are to be followers, if we are to be imitators of the Apostle Paul, who strove to be an imitator of Christ, we continue in the Apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And that requires us to feed upon the Word of God day by day, that our minds might be moulded by the Word. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ecclesia at Philippi, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory or pride, emptiness, but in lowliness of mind." And elsewhere he speaks in Corinthians about the mind of Christ. "Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And this is the crux. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." And it is that death that we now remember once less until the Master returns. And we remember it through the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine.
After Jesus and the disciples shared that last meal together, they went out and sung a hymn, and we will now do the same by singing hymn 256. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the memory adored, and show the death of our dear Lord, until he come. Hymn 256. We will bring our meeting to a close through a word of prayer through Brother Peter, please. Peter Southgate, that is. After we have sung hymn 120. When shall the voice of singing flow joyfully along? When hill and valley ringing our triumphant song? Proclaim the contest ended, and him who once was slain, again to earth descended, in righteousness to reign. Hymn 120.